Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, the post-Pocono preview. No, post, how would that go?
I don't know.
Post-race coverage, that's post what race. It is.
And the pre-MIS coverage.
Yeah, right? Episode number 26. How you doing, B?
What up?
Man, busy week. Another good week. That was great having MIS president on last week.
That was very cool. I think that gave a great perspective of letting people know what's going on at the track.
Yeah, they don't just open the gates and let everybody in and close the gates when they're done. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes and a lot to entertain people.
Well, you know, I think it's cool, and I think that's one thing that's unique about the sport of auto racing. You know, it's not just a drive in 20 minutes before tip off or kickoff or whatever it is and head home. Like, it's an event.
It is.
Like you said, it's not just a green flag scheduled at 1:15.
Open the gate and leave.
No, there is stuff to do. I think there's stuff to do all weekend out there,
really,
like he
is.
Was saying, you know.
Yep, I agree.
Euchre tournaments, yoga classes.
I thought that was cool, the Euchre tournament.
That's awesome.
I'm like, that's genius.
We cannot wait. We finally get to go to a race this weekend. barring any weather issues, it's questionable at the moment. Friday's looking nice.
Yeah.
I'll be out there Thursday night, and you'll be out there Friday morning.
Friday. All day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So another
good week of downloads.
Yeah.
8,700 downloads now.
Yeah. We're creeping. We're getting there.
26 shows. This 26. Is crazy. How did this all begin?
I don't know, man. That's by a bar idea.
Yeah, I remember when we were only at episode 21.
I know, right?
So long ago.
Hey, do anything this weekend?
No.
No?
I did. So I finally, you know, I've been half-heartedly working on this, and it was, you know, no fun. But finally got the engines out of the Viper, gone, shipped out to Arrow Racing. So waiting for that bill. But, man, that was, you know, here's the thing. Viper's a cool car, but it's pretty basic. It really is. It's a race car. It's tube chassis, you know, V10, and it's pretty simple from a mechanical point. The part that I didn't expect was, because it's aluminum and you're taking steel bolts and threading them in, they're dissimilar metals, and the bolts don't want to come out. And I mean, they do not want to come out. And you only have a little bit of room sometimes. I mean, I was using impact wrenches on starter bolts, and they weren't coming out. Just crazy stuff. So took a ridiculous amount of time to do. Not difficult, but it wore me out. I'm not going to lie. I'm not doing two. I'm not doing two.
Nice.
We'll get it in there.
Nice.
So how was your weekend?
Good. Friday night, just hung out a little bit at the house. Didn't do much. And then Saturday, I got out on the golf course for the first time all season, which was nice. Hit the ball surprisingly well, actually, which was nice.
What's the new course record?
New course record was not set by me, that's for sure. But I shot a 95, I think, for 18, first time out, haven't swung the club.
Way around, that's not so bad.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. And honestly, I missed like 5 par putts, which pissed me the hell off. But I'll take that.
Yeah.
Then did a lot of drinking afterwards. Our Berkeley had the art bash, sure. So we when I got back, walked around there. Hit a couple bars.
I hit the art fair for a little while in the morning, so that was cool. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, at the art fair. So Maria, a.k.a. NASCAR by Marriage, a.k.a. Yeah. Lindsay, a.k.a. my wife, at the art bash while I was in the bar drinking, comes running in, tells me, you got to go walk down half a block and look at this one display. And I ended up buying two, Tony. They are they stick into the ground. They each hold two glasses, and it's got a magnetic cornhole score on each side. They are the coolest thing. And after about the 5th, 6th game of cornhole, which means you're probably about, you know, if you're a beer drinker, 6, 7 beers in, that math and, oh, shit, what was the score down there? Problem is now solved.
Okay. You just got to remember to hit that, and you're okay, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I like this stuff. So.
So, Tony, we're going to our first race. We'll be out at MIS, as we said, all weekend.
Yep.
So make sure we're recording a little early this week. We're actually recording Monday. Haven't seen any info from Bob Pockrass or any of those guys on the tweet up yet. So make sure we'll pin that to our post.
We'll hit that. We'll hit that on, and we'll put it on Facebook. Yes. We'll put it on Twitter. We'll both of us will put it out there. And because we want to meet you guys.
If you're
out at the track, we want to meet you. We got stuff to give away. And
koozies, stickers, some shirts.
Yeah.
And if you're out there and you're not going to, you know, maybe be able to make it out there as early on Sunday or whatever, if you're out there, shoot us a message. We'll like I said, we'll be there all weekend. We'll make a point of coming and saying hi to you guys.
Yeah, we can find you. We'll find you.
Absolutely. Well, and with that new MIS taxi thing, dude, that's genius.
I love that.
We'll be, especially with Lindsay's knee still in semi-recovery mode, we will be using that.
No, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like that idea.
Yes, yes.
So you get a chance to, there's a whole bunch of racing going on.
There was. Two weeks in a row of all three series racing, which was cool. I probably saw the last half of the truck race, which was nice. Johnny Sauter.
Yeah.
Stage one, Christopher Bell, stage two, and ended up winning the race.
Yeah, man, that was a crazy finish. That was, you know, so tough. It depends on, I guess which frame of film, you know, when it's over.
Yeah.
Because it was changing, like, from frame to frame.
Yes.
That was the craziest thing ever. Still in the back of my mind, I don't know that Bell won that one, but.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Apparently he did because NASCAR said he did.
Well, yes. You know, it's interesting. You know, it was really cool to see that finish in terms of some of the closest side-by-side racing that you'll see. It was a bummer that Bell and Briscoe didn't get to race like that one more lap around the track to the start finish. And, you know, I've been a big proponent of getting rid of this overtime line and the rule. Tony, I think NASCAR got that right this time, and I just, you know, want to go on the record of saying that because I'm a proponent of bashing them when they're not. You know, the white flag came out, and it's always been the next flag ended that race.
Yep.
You know, so from that regard, I think it was, you know, had they been coming out of turn four, I would have been pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to have seen them line that up again. But they took the white flag, you know, so I think that it was okay for that race to finish and not race back to the checkers or lining
back
up.
I think it was the
that.
Right call. It was just, man, I wish it would have been a little more definitive.
Yes.
Who actually won.
That's
because,
crazy.
You know, whatever. You just want to make the call. You just want to get the call right.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter who wins, I like both those
but
guys.
But could you imagine if the caution hadn't come out, could you imagine those guys would have been beating and banging
they
off each other that whole way around that track?
They would have beat the hell out of those trucks. And thank goodness, Timothy Peter, he took a wild ride.
Dude,
he's okay.
The way he slid across the start-finish reminded me of the 2007 Daytona 500 when Clint Bowyer slid across on his roof.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that one.
I do.
That was literally the first thing I thought of when I saw that.
Yeah, so I'm glad he's okay. But, yeah, Christopher Bell.
He's been on your radar.
He has.
Yeah, second win of the season, too, already.
He's good, man. He really is. So.
Yeah. Tony, the trucks next week are in Gateway Motorsports Park.
Yeah, they are. Yep.
I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I know. That's Mid-America.
Yes.
There. It looks like a really cool facility. I've never been. But that's like the race of the weekend there, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
That should be good.
Yeah. They're there, and Xfinity and Cup are. Obviously at Michigan.
Michigan,
and then in August, and ARCA. ARCA's were racing Friday night at MIS.
Yeah.
And then in August, it'll be the trucks and the Cup. And I don't know where the Xfinity is that weekend. Yeah. But
it was a good another good race. Another good close. You know, they're so close. They're pushing so hard.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think helped the level of competition for the truck race was the fact that they weren't racing at Pocono, so you didn't have a Kyle Busch or whatever. You know, it guaranteed a truck regular was going to win that race because they were not racing at Pocono, which I think was very cool.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, when you get like the regulars, the series regulars in that does make a big difference. So. But Johnny Sauter still has the lead in the standings. Christopher Bell's knocking on that door.
Yes.
Matt Crafton can never be counted out.
No. Christopher Bell's, he's running away with some playoff points in the truck there.
Yes, he is.
If they were to reseed, he'd be in first, and Sauter would be in second. But, they're setting up for a good finish there, sir.
Yep. You see any of the Xfinity race?
When I got back from the bar, or I'm sorry, when I got back from golf, I had to walk around with the wife for a little bit. So I missed the first half, and then I watched the second half at the bar. So I'm really kind of bummed because I did not get to hear any of the Cup driver coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Of the race.
It was good. I thought I'll be honest with you, I thought they did a good job.
Nice.
I really do. I thought it was, I mean, you know, for not being, you know, that's not what they do, but I thought they did well.
You know, Bowyer and Harvick have actually called races, you know,
yep.
So it wasn't like their first time, which was good. I think they put those two guys right as the play-by-play. I would have really liked to have heard some of the Denny and Danica in studio, because, you know, those two are no strangers to beating and banging off each other
yep.
on the track
yep.
And have had some words on pit road, you know. So I'm curious how that dynamic.
It was good. I'll be honest, you know, I don't know. I didn't mind it at all. I thought they did. I thought it was entertaining.
Cool.
And that's what they wanted.
And
I think they had fun.
Yeah.
They looked like they were having fun anyways.
Well, you know, I mean, who better to share knowledge with the fans than
the people that do it?
Than those guys,
yeah,
right?
They might know.
You know? So, and I'm sure it helped. Well, I don't know. Maybe it didn't help bring a ratings
I think
in.
It
but
did. Yeah, it's something neat to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of reporters, so did you see the end of the race when Brad Keselowski gets out of the car?
Yep.
And he looks up, he goes, holy cow, I'm being interviewed by Ryan Blaney. You know, like, is
that's
this really
rough.
Happening?
Right.
Because Brad Keselowski is the one that gave Ryan Blaney his first truck ride, you know, and now Ryan Blaney, you know, has obviously had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
a little bit.
So that was cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Tony, this Xfinity race was the first Xfinity race that had been swept. Keselowski
yeah.
won both stages and was the winner.
He had to work hard to win that.
He did.
But,
yeah, no, it was a pretty decent Xfinity race for it being at Pocono. You know, three Cup guys in the top five, no surprise there.
Yep.
But, you know, you had Allgaier, Sadler, Brennan Gaughan, Cole Custer, and Hemric all get top tens,
yeah.
which is fantastic. Those are the guys we want to see up there in the top 10 at the in the Xfinity level, and you know,
they're
up there.
And a new points leader.
Yeah,
Allgaier by a point.
Yeah, hey,
still,
yeah,
out front is out front.
That's right.
Right.
You're not out front anymore.
Christopher.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Go ahead and pile on. That's cool. That's all right.
All right. Anyways, I digress.
All right. So we just covered fantasy. We don't have to talk
yeah,
about
no,
that.
Yeah, we're good. We're going to skip right
up.
No.
Want to talk some social media?
Yes, sir. We're blowing through this a little quickly here, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we're on page 4 of 9.
Page 4 of 9. Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. Tony did not get his usual day and a half notice of the show
yeah.
because we're recording a little early. So Tony walked in blind to the show notes
yeah,
today.
I got to sit down and absorb 9 typewritten single space pages.
Well, there's
in 15 minutes.
There's some images, you know.
Yeah, thanks.
Help space it out a little bit.
I got an image for you.
Oh, Lord. All right. Website, thelabtrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lab Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LabTrafficPC. Listen, subscribe on iTunes or Podbean. Leave us some comments. Make sure you check us out. Tony, we are almost to our 10,000 download mark, in which we will be able to give away this awesome autograph, to which people have inquired about the signatures on it.
Yeah. We've got that list.
I have that list right here.
You don't have to do with, like, you know, point out, like, make a map. Like, here's who's a what, where on that.
Yeah.
Because some of them are kind of harder.
A little
read.
Bit. Yes, they are. Jack Roush, Ricky Stenhouse, Joey Logano, Casey Mears, Justin Allgaier, Matt Kenseth, Greg Biffle, Kyle Busch, and Austin Dillon. Just to name a few. There's
That's
a few more
bad.
On there.
That's not bad.
Those are the big ones. So, yes, once we hit 10,000 downloads, make sure you retweet, tell your friends to check us out, and we will give that away to one lucky follower. We have some new followers, speaking of followers, on Facebook. Donna Kimmon from Bayfield, Massachusetts. Alan Smyers from Lauren, Ohio. Big Kevin Harvick fan. Welcome to the show. Ryan Westerfield from Dallas, Texas.
I'll be there Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Big Junior fan. Over to Twitter, Vicky Henry at JoJo52280. Big Chase Elliott fan. Tim at Tim24RCN. Another big Gordon, or I'm sorry, Chase Elliott
fan. I almost made that mistake, too.
I know, right?
You see number 24, you're like, oh, they're a Jeff Gordon fan.
Yeah, absolutely, which they probably are, right?
Yeah.
Lori at LS, team and big Jeff Gordon fan. Jeff Striegel at Jeff Striegel. Tony, he's an announcer for MRN.
Oh, no kidding.
Gave us a follow.
Hey, just
which is very
go
cool.
back. Lori
yes.
is a number 4 fan.
What did I say?
You said another 24.
Oh, my
bad. That's Kevin Harvick.
I'm sorry.
How did I miss that? Make that mistake?
I'm sorry. Lori, welcome to Harvick Nation. Let's see. Jess Copeland at Nitro Copeland. Big NASCAR and WWE fan.
And another one.
Dude, the NASCAR wrestling, you know.
You're going to have your own gang.
I am. I could start a whole nother podcast. No.
No, sir.
Check out our website. Visit our store. Some shirts. Sippy cups, hoodies, whole shebang out there for you guys. Stickers and koozies are here. And once we get back from MIS, I'll tweet out a picture and let you guys know how to go about requesting them. And I'll sit down for an hour or two and send those all out to you guys.
Yeah, we can knock that out one day.
Yes, sir. If you've been to a race, send us some stuff. Tony, the other day during Pocono, I decided to give away a T-shirt. Yep. First one we gave away. We got 91 retweets. It was seen by, I think it had over 5,000 impressions. We got over 30 new followers on Sunday, which was awesome. So welcome to all the new followers. Tony, we got over 1,100 Twitter followers, which is awesome. And the winner of the Lap Traffic podcast T-shirt is Billy Workman at Dega_boy_87. Congratulations. We will send you a tweet letting you know you won, and send us your information, and I'll try to get that out this week. If not, when we get back from MIS,
awesome.
I'll get that out to you. So congratulations. Thanks for everyone for spreading word and retweeting. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys want to send us anything, you know, a few people have, and we always appreciate it. Put them up here on display in the man cave. You can send it to us at the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yes, sir. All right, over to some fantasy. Tony, if you want to leave the room,
we're done
back.
Talking about that. We already covered that.
Just to let you guys know, on last week's episode number 25, we announced the prizes for everybody, and I also have those up on the website under the fantasy page, too, so everyone knows what they're playing for now, finally.
The winner, we'll just cover the winner. The winner gets their, we're getting an autographed picture of their favorite driver, whoever it is.
Yep.
Lap Traffic T-shirt. Stickers, koozies, all that stuff, man, for winning.
Yep. So, second place is going to get an autographed driver, some stickers and koozies. Third place, Lap Traffic T-shirt, stickers, koozies. Fourth and fifth place, stickers and koozies. And who knows what else. Maybe we'll throw some other stuff in there, too. All right. On to the results this week. Tony, I was surprised nobody picked Ryan Blaney. And I've picked him a couple times. He's been a popular pick, so I was just kind of curious. So I actually went back to see the last time. We have to go all the way back to Martinsville before someone didn't pick Ryan Blaney. So it was kind of odd that no one picked him this week. Tony, not much you could do. This is your third week in a row without scoring any points, but I know you're in sandbag mode a little bit.
I'm in fuel save mode.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? I gotta save something for the end of this race.
That's
here.
Right.
To be fair, Logano was 12th at that last restart.
Yes.
In moving forward.
Yep.
Had a brake issue.
Well, I had Kyle Busch, and he was in the lead. He was a sitting duck though with that though. You know, I was lucky to get points at all.
So, you know, I was gonna say, actually, you know, we're talking about, you know, we do Lucky Dogs and everything. Like, I'm like, man, Kyle Busch, without his crew chief and half of his team, basically, you know, they're not, you know, they're gone.
Yeah.
And Kyle Busch is running away with this race.
Yeah.
They had a caution, and they don't bring him
in. They didn't bring him in.
Yep. I'm like, they went from, like, my lucky dog to the lap down almost.
Yeah,
like,
seriously. Like complete
within,
180.
Like, immediately. Like, how did you not do that?
I don't know. Yeah, I was wondering that too. Aaron is our new points leader. We've cracked the triple digit mark. Aaron has 105 points.
Nice job, Aaron.
He's got a 5-point lead over a 3-way tie for second with Colby, Rich, and Wes. Tony, you and John have a two-way tie for third with 95, two spots down.
That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Cody's in fourth with 90, and Mick is in fifth with 85. I scored points, but I actually lost ground because only five people did not score any points this week. So, yeah. Tony, pretty cool.
I'm in third?
You're in third.
All right, we can't have that. I'll lay back for a little.
Right. Tony, I think the coolest thing about our fantasy league is that people like are always excited when the results come out, and people have like side bets going on who's going to win this league, which was very cool to get that tweet. So we are so glad you guys love interacting with us, and we love it just as much.
This is something Brandon and I have done with other friends like for years.
Yeah.
So this is fun for us too.
Just a reminder to our lapped traffic fantasy players. So with us being at Michigan in this week and stuff, I'm probably not going to be able to send out everyone's pre-picks. I'll send out as many reminders as I can, but make sure you get your picks in, and I'll have the updates probably on Monday for that. But be on the lookout for my usual email, and just make sure you get your picks in, because I'm not going to be able to keep track of that as diligently as I normally do.
Yeah, we're going to be a little busy.
A little busy. And again, make sure you are following us on Twitter and Facebook for some tweet ups. And
And the other thing is, too, so it Michigan International Speedway has been kind enough to give us media passes. So we're going to be in the inner sanctum of things, in the belly of the beast, if you will. So it should be cool. I mean,
we're going to be kids in a candy store.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you know, as we meet people, as we learn things, we'll be blasting them out as fast as we can to you all. So. Should be.
I can't wait.
Very
I cannot wait to get out there Thursday. That's kind of a little side note here before we get into the cup coverage. Lindsay and I have had some very close friends that actually lived in the downtown Brooklyn area for years. And it was just always a given. We'd go out Thursday night, go have dinner with them.
That's Brooklyn, Michigan.
Brooklyn, Michigan, yes.
Far different.
Yeah, than Brooklyn, New York. You know, and that way we were already out there to get up bright and early to get to the track on Friday. And unfortunately, those dear friends of ours have retired up to Mackinac. So we were kind of left without a place to stay.
And so as a point of reference, Mackinac is north. Right at the tip of of the Lower Peninsula.
Yes.
Just before you get to the Upper Peninsula.
Yes. And there's Mackinac Island, which little history fact here. There are no motorized vehicles on Mackinac Island, which is very cool. It's a very big tourist area.
Horses. Carriage.
A lot of shit out there.
There is. And did you notice that there's also a lot of fudge shops?
There are a lot of fudge shops.
I'm not putting it together. I'm just saying.
Where does it go?
It's your special ingredient. I don't know.
But anyway, so we looked at some hotels, which, you know, there's not a lot of hotels in Irish Hills.
No, there's not. It's where Michigan Speedway is, it's kind of sleepy out there. Kind of a relaxed little area out there. A lot of vacation homes.
For anyone that's in Michigan, I always describe it as being an up north feel without being up north. Yeah. You're actually kind of like west mid pack of the state. But anyway, so we're doing an Airbnb actually for our first for the first time, because we looked at doing some camping and, you know, not having your own RV, and we're already renting one for Eldora. Yeah. So. Yeah, but anyways.
We are looking for some RV sponsorship, by the way.
Sure. That'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
Anybody's got one that would loan it to us a few times a year would be killer.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yes. And then I can't. I'm gonna take a second.
Yeah.
To why I can't. I was going to stay there Friday night, be out there Saturday.
Yes.
So I'm going to take a second just so everybody knows. Like, I'm also into baseball. Baseball, softball is my big, big thing. Both my kids are high school, And my daughter, so they is part of this group. So it was Major League Baseball has pitch, hit, and run competition, much like football has the punt, pass, and kick.
Yep.
Right? So the pitch, hit, and run competition, and she's qualified for the state finals. She gets to play at Comerica Park where the Tigers play. Last year, she finished third in state, so she can make another run at the title.
Good
so,
luck, Tay.
So Tay-Tay's, man, she's tough, man.
Yeah.
She's good. So we'll see.
So you'll be out there Friday. You're going to drive home.
Fingers
and then
crossed.
You'll be back out there Sunday.
Yeah, so I'm going. I got to go to Houston, to Dallas.
Oh, yeah, you leave tomorrow,
don't
you? What time?
Yeah, Tuesday morning, man. 6:15.
That's why we're going through
here. Out the door. Yeah, Dallas. I get home from Dallas Thursday night. I'll be at Michigan 9 o'clock in the morning, out there all day, 7 a.m. at Comerica Park. I get a busy weekend. So.
Yeah.
But just good stuff. So
hell yeah. No, it's going to be fun.
Yep.
Fun so times.
We will be out there. So, all right. Well, fantasy.
So, yes. So that's so just make sure you get your picks in and keep kicking Tony's ass and we'll all be good to go.
That's right. I'm going to the whip. I was going to be nice. I didn't realize I'm down in third.
You slipping.
All right. I'll see how it
slipping.
Is. Are we making our picks now or are we? Oh,
No. All right. Not yet.
See, I'm getting
not
excited
yet.
Now.
You are. You're getting ahead of yourself here.
All right. I'm pumped.
All right. Over to cup. Tony, how awesome was that? Ryan Blaney. Bringing it home.
Man, you know he had to be sweating. Whew. Because Harvick was laying on him.
He was. Yep.
Harvick was giving it everything he had.
Yes.
You know, Blaney hit his marks, did not make a mistake. He didn't. If he would have wiggled, it was over.
It was. Yeah. Yep. You know, and I'm not the biggest Pocono fan, as I've made very clear. I actually sent out a tweet just before the end of stage two when they had the red flag to clean up from that wreck.
Yep.
That because we were going to have a one-lap shootout to end stage two, I thought that was going to be the most exciting lap of the yep. race. And fortunately, I was wrong. The last 15, 20 laps there were competitive. There was an actual race on the track,
yep.
which I thought was cool because for a good chunk of the race, it was,
They get mighty, they get strung out.
10-second gaps between yep. first, second, it wasn't. That's why I'm not a big fan of Pocono. Yep. I like the design of the track. I like the speed. There's just not the on-track competition
for a good portion
of the race.
I understand. I'm not even going to argue with about that.
That's,
but, man, you know, speaking of restarts and all that stuff, you know, there's blocking, defending your spot. And you see Kyle Busch at the end. When you drive somebody below the yellow line, that's when the officials start reaching for the black flag.
Right.
I mean, and I really thought that was it was about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like when you're trying to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
He defended it vigorously.
Yes, he did.
But
yep.
Yeah, too. I understand that, but it was maybe a little.
It was slightly excessive,
a little bit.
But yeah, no, that was some major blocking there.
Yeah, that was, I mean, like I said, he had to do it. He had to defend, but
yeah.
Yikes.
Tony, I laughed a little bit with Joey Logano when he pitted early, because for second week in a row, you and Sherwin had the same picks.
We'll see how it goes this week.
I don't know if you saw, I tweeted out, it's probably my favorite gif to use on Twitter. It's John Cena making this ooh face, yeah. like, as soon as he hit pit road. Oh, I tweeted that to you guys. It made me laugh. It made me laugh so hard.
Man, he was there. He was coming through. He didn't have a great car, but, you know, top 10.
Totally.
But, you know, more break stuff.
Tony, the Truex, who was a favorite for quite a few people in our league, and, you know, he's won there a couple times, he had to go to the rear for an engine change, and he struggled a little bit there.
Well, you know, like I said, I told everybody last week, this is an engine builder's nightmare. This track is, you got to twist them hard. You know, I mean, that's why you see so many mechanical issues at this track.
Well, speaking of mechanical issues, man, another tough weekend for the 88 team and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
That ain't a mechanical issue, man. That's a mental issue.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have brake issues, shifting issues, transmission.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, when you go from, you're going 180 miles an hour in third gear and you shove it in second gear, bad things are going to happen.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
I want to say, like they said, according to the computer, so like typically like 9,500 RPMs that's like what you get out of one of these things. It let loose at 12,615 RPMs. Right, it was like a Formula One motor.
Wow.
At that point,
that's nuts.
When it finally let loose,
gave out,
and I tweeted it out. But in the pit crew world, that's known as an RUD. That's a rapid unintentional disassembly.
Oh. Okay.
The engine came apart immediately.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Tony, great run, and I give some shout out and props here to Michael McDowell. He actually made it to the final round of qualifying.
Run.
He was running top 10, top 15 all day. Ended up finishing 24th. But they had a solid run all day.
I agree.
Which was very cool.
Yep.
Tony, the first caution came out with five laps to go in stage two. I thought there was a shot this thing could have gone caution-free with the exception of the stages. 48 had a hard hit into the wall, man. That thing hit hard. You don't see Jimmy Johnson have to sit and catch his breath too often.
No.
Glad he's all right there. But, man, that was a lick.
And then McMurray on, like, the same lap.
Right? So, yeah.
Did you see him? Like he was trying. The car's on fire.
Yes.
The car is still coasting down the track.
And he can't get out.
He's trying to get. He was unbuckling. Yeah. He was getting out of that car.
Yep.
And he's trying to stop it. But I had no brakes. He's like, I couldn't stop it. So it finally, you know, rolled up to the wall.
Yeah.
But that boy was out of there. And,
yeah.
And I'm glad he was.
Absolutely.
That car was on fire.
Yeah. Yep. No jokes.
It's crazy.
You know, like I mentioned, you know, my biggest issue with Pocono is the gap in racing for a large portion of that.
Yeah.
You know, because of that, and I'm not the only person, obviously, that gives Pocono flack for that. It amazes me that we're going to be back there again in 6 weeks. Like the turnaround time. It amazes me that Pocono's got two races. Two, it amazes me even more that the turnaround time from when we go back to Pocono is so short.
Think, you know, the window of time. Okay, they have two dates.
Yeah.
Okay. They do.
Right.
They're not going to let them go if they don't have to.
No. Ever, right. No. Of course.
But here's the thing: in the window of time, weather-wise,
yes,
you got to cram them in there quickly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I mean, you could even. I mean, argue almost. You know. Michigan's what, 8 weeks?
8 weeks,
or something like that.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, you gotta roll the dice there.
Yep. Tony, what was your thoughts on Bubba Wallace?
Bubba Wallace, you know, I saw something that was pretty cool. They said that's the first time that the 43 car has ever been on the track with rookie stripes on it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
And he fought hard.
He did.
He fought real hard.
You know, he brought the car home in one piece, which... for someone in their first race, you can't have much more expectation than that, really. Well, realistically.
Yeah, right. You just want
to,
yeah.
You want him to go out there, log laps, and gain experience.
Keep the fenders on it.
Yes. And he finished. At one point, he was two laps down. He got back one lap, almost got back a second, almost was able to finish on the lead lap. You know, he finished 26th, it was a solid day. It's not the noise that I think, you know, people would have liked to have seen, but it was, I think, a better than what probably most in the sport would have probably thought he would have finished.
Yeah, no, I thought he did. It was admirable, but yeah. But you know, it was the post race stuff that, and anybody who follows me on Twitter at Crew Chief Tony, I posted this a little while
ago.
Nice plug. Yeah, you like that?
I did.
But you know, he said he got out of the car and fainted, like out. So they asked him later. They said, you know, dehydration, which a lot of guys had. And I mean, it was hot.
Yeah, Matt DiBenedetto dehydrated.
Yeah. So, and he says, no. He says, I just, you know, he had. Now, what was bad was, you know, you can't get five speeding penalties.
No.
When you come into the pits. I understand it's your first time in the car, but okay, this is the big leagues now. Okay.
Yep.
You can't do stuff like that. He said his answer was he wasn't dehydrated. He says he gets so pissed at himself. He gets so mad that he faints. Like, did he just say that? I don't even know that was a thing. Number one, number two, I don't want him to get pissed at me while I'm racing next to him.
Right.
And he's, you know, is he gonna faint at Michigan at 215 miles an hour?
Right. Yeah.
That was a strange one. I've never heard of that. Yep.
No, that was a first for me.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, stay tuned. I don't know. I guess. We'll learn more about that, but no, I thought he did. He thought he did all right.
Yeah, Tony. Just a fun fact for my boy Kevin Harvick: 49th second place finish, putting him at 10th all time for second time finishes.
Wow!
Or second place finishes.
I didn't know that.
Would be nice to have him have 49 more wins on that.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'd be one happy person.
Dang!
I mean, I think he's got 35. 49 seconds. You know who is up there? I don't know. He may have passed him already, but Mark Martin was notorious for finishing second place.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. Tony, one very cool thing. We've had 14 races, 10 different winners. that's pretty cool. You know, Ryan Newman, Ryan Blaney, Ricky Stenhouse, Austin Dillon. You know, I know we anticipated Ryan Blaney getting a win at some point, maybe this year, maybe next year.
I would have thought he would. I mean, I thought, honestly, Chase Elliott would have rung that bell a couple
way
times
before him. Yeah.
You know? Speaking of, you know, we were talking earlier about the, sorry.
Yeah, I'm, no, you're good.
Veering off course here. But so, you know, we mentioned earlier.
Turn right.
So, like, yeah. Ryan Blaney was interviewing Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
After the Xfinity race.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney comes into Victory Lane. Brad Keselowski got out of his car and ran to Victory Lane and took Jamie Little's
microphone.
Cool. And interview. He's like, here, I'm going to interview you now.
Yes.
So
yeah, no, that was very cool. Very cool moment.
Like, say, you know, he's, yeah, you know, they go
same
way
engines,
back, so.
The, well, you know,
yeah,
and all
they,
that.
They're part, of, you know, basically a satellite Penske team, but you know, they're close. You know, they've known each other a long time, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, so that's cool. 14 races, 10 different winners. I like that. And like I said, I that's put some winners in Victory Lane that I don't think we would have thought would have been there.
No, it's been a cool year.
It's very cool.
I think it's shaking,
but like you said, you know,
quite a bit.
And Chase Elliott, I think very well could get a win this Sunday at Michigan.
Yeah.
I think this track plays right into his wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's fast. He likes fast.
You know, another person that I would have thought maybe could have gotten a win this weekend is Junior. You know, Tony, he's 23rd in the point standings right now. Not making any noise, you know, and I'm not one to typically play into the cliche of he or the fan, whatever, deserve anything, you earn it.
Yeah.
But I just think the legacy in and of itself, man, you hope he would have been able to go out with a bang his last season. And hopefully second half, maybe they can turn some things around. But like I said, Michigan would have been a place I thought maybe he could have gotten one. And I just don't see it with the way team's going.
I think plate races, I think that's going to be where he's gonna shine.
Daytona, 4th of July.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
No. No, I think it's still possible, but they definitely got to get some things going in their direction.
Yeah.
Tony, we're off to MIS next weekend. Do you got an MIS moment? Do you got something that just sticks out to you for MIS?
You know, it seems like I could come up with something better than this, but I can't. I've seen lots of racing there. But, man, seeing Larson win his first race last year.
Right.
I mean, that's a tough one to cap.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many years, it turns into a mileage race sometimes.
Yes.
But, man, that Larson win was big.
Well, it was very cool. You and I got to see Kyle Larson win twice last year.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That was very cool.
And Eldor, yeah.
For me, two stick out. One, obviously, when I got to ride around the track with Harvick during his driver intro lap and he ends up winning that race. It's going to be very hard to top that ever.
Who gets to ride in the truck with the, you know, Brandon does? Like, really?
Yeah.
How the hell? Jesus.
The second one that's kind of like the trailing far behind that, but is probably my second, was being able to see or being able to say and remember seeing Jeff Gordon win there. You know, icon of the sport. You know, to say you saw Jeff Gordon win a race, I think is something cool. So those are probably my two MIS moments, and hopefully we'll have some new ones to share next week with everybody.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes,
I am for sure. So
yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
So we're sitting in the man cave.
Yes,
there's
we are.
About 374 autograph pictures framed surrounding us.
There are
some hoopla about.
Yep.
Autographs.
Yes.
And when you do, when you don't, who's obligated to do what? And what are your thoughts on that? And Miss Danica made the headlines again.
She did. Tony, it's time for the professor to lay down some stuff here. You ready? I think you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. So there was some noise made, like Tony just said, about Danica. So, Tony, I read, and I don't know the validity 100% of this, but what started this whole situation was a fan kind of tried to sneak their way into an area in the garage and ran up to approach Danica.
Cars are coming off the track. They were pushing them. Yeah.
Big no-no, right?
Yep.
Like, you know, if you get a...
Not the time, not the place.
No. To be in the garage, you have a background check ran on you. You have to submit
your
personal information, ton of stuff.
Yep.
Just to kind of make sure you're kosher and can be back there. So one, for that fan to do that was wrong. The fans booing Danica, like, you're an icon in the sport. If you can't handle that, you know, and that's not even my issue.
Clearly she can't.
Right, yes. But so what really came about with all of this is our drivers expected to sign autographs in the garage. Should they have to sign, you know, all this stuff about drivers signing autographs. What's the big deal about autographs? All this, right? So for me personally, every autograph that I have, well, I'll put it this way. 95% of the autographs that I have, I got in person. And every autograph, I could tell you a story, which I think is the coolest thing about the autograph. It's not so much that somebody signed something. It's I've got hundreds of stories that I could tell about the driver, where I got it, what happened in the garage, anything. And that's what it is for me. Is it's a memory and it's a story.
Yeah.
You know, I've got selfies with drive. That's what it is for me. That's why I have the obsession with getting them and adding to the collection, because it tells a story and it gives me a story to tell, which I think is the coolest thing in the world. That said, do I think drivers are expected to or should sign autographs? And I'm going to kind of preface this here a little bit. Tony, in my opinion, right? In my opinion, there are three main types of people in the garage, and there's more.
So you've given this some thought.
Oh, I yeah, a little bit. All right. So there's three main types.
Yes, I didn't plan any of this.
It up, and I'm just running with this here. Yeah,
apparently, he's hitting it far.
All right. So there's three types of people in the garage, in my opinion. You have those that are definitely there to get and sell autographs on eBay, wherever it may be. And in my opinion, I would think the drivers have gotten to know these people by sight and know who they are at some point. Then you've got people like me that are fortunate enough to have a couple connections and able to get back there for personal gain and just love of the sport and being back there. And then you have your people that are there on behalf of sponsors, right? I mean, you've got either family of drivers and teams, and then you've got people of the sponsors, maybe from that area.
You know a guy that knows a guy that works with somebody's wife.
Exactly.
They got you in.
Okay.
There.
So that's your main three groups.
Those are the ones that, I mean, there's etiquette.
Right. And that's the thing. So here's the thing that I don't know if people know. If you get a hot or a cold pass, like I said, you got to submit your driver's license, all this stuff. You go pick it up.
I know the drill.
Tony, they run your card, they hand you a hot pass, and you go on your merry way. They don't do or explain anything to you, which, you know, NASCAR totes itself as being fan or driver accessible to the fans, which in reality, they're really not. It's not your everyday Joe that's back there in the garage that has access. Now, a driver might walk along a fence and sign some autographs, which is very cool and very generous of them. But in terms of in the garage, it's not your everyday fan. But I think that's what NASCAR uses when they're practicing and all this kind of stuff, and the camera showing those shots. You know, they're in a secluded area where drivers are able to get autographs. But like I said, NASCAR doesn't tell anybody what really proper etiquette is, how to approach a driver, how to talk to the driver, when you can approach. Tony, I've seen Dale Jr. walk into the shitter, walk out, and a fan's trying to get his autograph because the car, they're working on the setup of the car mid-practice, and someone's asking him for an autograph. Not saying it would solve the problem, but if NASCAR were to hand out a sheet of paper or have on the back of the thing,
no autographs during this time.
Right. Or, you know, hey, 15 minutes beforehand to 10 minutes after the engines are on, no autographs. And what that would do is, the drivers can still say no or ignore them or whatever, but it takes the pressure off the driver because NASCAR made you aware of it, and it doesn't make the driver look as bad.
I like that idea.
You know, I mean, that just to me makes too much sense. Like, you've got a lot of people that it could be their first time there because of the sponsor. Hey, go hang out at the garage because, you know, we're sponsoring a car or this or that. These people don't have a clue.
But between this time and this time,
nothing.
Persona non grata.
Right.
Don't go near them.
But then maybe if it's not that time, maybe the driver should maybe be a little bit more approachable. Since
after that, then you can, you know, for this,
like,
half hour.
I mean,
I don't know.
The sponsors are what are allowing the drivers to have a ride, you know. Now, like I said, granted, the drivers maybe don't know who's out there selling for profit and all that. And if I was a driver, that would tick me off.
Yeah.
But for, you know, someone like me or a casual fan that's there because they love the sport, they love the drivers, you know, I don't think asking for an autograph is a bad thing. I think that just shows to the driver that you're loved, that you've got fans. And for me, I would think it would be a humbling experience if you know, and I guess it probably gets old if you're Dale Jr. walking through there. I get that. But again, NASCAR is going to promote that we give all this access to the fans. Well, then maybe we should.
I think they just maybe, so you, what you say, just put some rules on it. Maybe.
Yeah.
So now where I was going.
And etiquette, right?
So where I was going with this. In,
sorry, that was a hell of a rant.
It was, man. It was, that's a, but you were right, though. I mean, and it was, it's well put. Because, I mean, there's times when you talk to them, and then there's times just, man, they're busy.
Yeah.
I mean, they just are.
Yes.
You know? But so, but my thing was, you know, and anybody that follows me on Twitter at Crew Chief Tony, they,
number two,
you know, so, so Danica Patrick, here's what was to me was, you know, all right, the guy tries to run up security, so no, you can't. And somebody just randomly boo, you know, she got pissed.
She did.
And stormed over. I mean, she stormed over. I mean, if she was going to, I mean, if she would have taken a swing at somebody, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Right.
Because she was hot.
Yep.
But here's what, so then she comes over and tries to plead, like, hey, guys, I'm in person, too. This hurts my feelings, whatever. And then she starts dropping F-bombs.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, you're asking for
sympathy.
You're asking for some sympathy, and then you're dropping F-bombs
right.
on people. I think you went about this maybe a little bit wrong.
I don't doubt. Like, it's true, you know. Like I said a little bit ago, like, you know, you should be able to handle fans booing at you. I mean, Kyle Busch embraces it every time he walks out on the state, you know. I think the situation was handled incorrectly across all levels, right? In terms of whether we're talking about the security letting the fan even get in there to have the situation occur.
Security occurred. Did well stopping him. They did a good job stopping him.
You know,
I
so
think it was a him. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, so that's my take on the whole situation.
But now on the other side of this, so
yes,
is the Richard Petty
yes
thing. You know, so
yes,
his thing is he'll sign it. Anytime, anywhere, anything you want signed, he'll sign it.
Yes.
Because you might forget about it. You'll probably lose the autograph, you'll whatever. But if he said no, you'll never forget the time that Richard Petty told you no.
Right.
You'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And that's why he is so generous. Now, granted, he's got time now. He's not in the car and talking to his team and in all of that stuff. But just different, you know, coming over and dropping F-bombs on people asking for sympathy and...
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this with the Eric Almirola wreck a few weeks ago in terms of camera crews getting access to the drivers to interview so quickly after a wreck or whatever, right?
Too quick.
And, you know, again, that's NASCAR in terms of giving access, whether it's to media, to fans. You know, if we're talking NFL, MLB, we're not walking the field during batting practice.
No, you don't get that.
No, which I think is awesome, and I would hate to see that go away.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, maybe this is a learning experience, and, you know, NASCAR maybe should start to give a etiquette rules sheet or something like that.
So now,
you know?
on the other side, is we're watching, it was Saturday night, I was also watching, bouncing back and forth, watching the IndyCar race.
Yeah.
Which was very exciting. And it was cool on Twitter. You're watching a lot of people there. They were kind of doing the same thing, watching both. But Scott Dixon was in another wreck. Again, not his fault. He came out of the infield care center, and you know he just simply walked by. He got on his scooter and left.
Off he went.
Just I don't have anything to say.
Yeah,
it's just better that I just leave right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
Yes,
I really am.
Yeah. I mean, it's
rather than
this
go on a
competition.
Sideways rant that they're gonna regret later or you know
it's,
whatever.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. So.
Cooling off period is just fine.
Yep.
Tony, you ready to go to work, sir?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith.
All right, welcome to the Crew Chief Corner. Let's get right into it, Tony. Tony. Couple questions from some listeners, our good buddies over at the PETM podcast. Tony, why was there so many rear braking issues going on?
High-speed tracks, that's what you want, more rear brakes so that you don't have a weight transfer. You don't want to put the car on its nose with too much front brake, so you put a lot of rear brake, dial that into the car. Really disappointed in a lot of the teams for missing it completely.
Like, I mean, not even close, right?
Like, not even kind of close. Like, Logano and, you know, whatever. We've been over it. McMurray and Johnson and, you know, probably everybody was going, you know, Kane. Didn't Casey Kane?
Yeah.
Lost his brakes
yep.
as well, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, Hendrick Motorsports has got how many engineers? They can't figure out, you know, what size of, you know.
You know, well, everyone said that they're putting the largest, bigger brakes than Bristol even out there.
Well,
like,
I mean, well, you got to dig deeper then, son, because it's a different aero package. I don't think that's going to happen next time at Pocono.
No.
But I'll tell you what, man, I can't imagine a scarier feeling going into a corner and you push the brake pedal right to the floor.
Nothing
now,
there.
I've had that happen in street cars, and it scares the I mean, it'll scare you straight. That's pretty good. What did Jimmy Johnson say? Yeah, I'm fine. Let's go home. I'm just going to go change my underwear and go.
That was funny.
Oh, you know, yep. as the other one that he said this morning, he said something like, hey, surprise, man. I woke up today, you know, felt fine. Not
yeah.
a bruise.
Yeah, which right? is remarkable.
Said, now, on the other hand, I have a feeling that Ryan Blaney woke up this morning feeling like he was in a 200-mile-an-hour wreck.
Yeah.
That boy was celebrating. But yeah, that's what it is. So you want to dial in rear brake to keep the car level. You don't want to shift the weight to the front and bounce the splitter. You know, whatever. That's bad stuff.
Nice.
So there's your answer.
Tony Mick wants to know. NASCAR said if you fail tech and don't attempt to qualify, you could lose a set of tires. Would that maybe fix the issue?
You know, so that's weird. I don't think anybody's trying to fail tech.
No.
You know, what I didn't understand is why they made, you know, they made Dale Jr. do a qualifying lap. He's starting last. He blew his motor. He's starting last. Why is he going out? And I think what it is they want, everybody else is going out on scuffed tires.
That's.
You're not going out on new ones.
Yep.
So you got to go out and turn a lap.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. I don't think it's – I mean, if they take away tires, that's going to definitely suck. That's going to really hurt.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody's intentionally trying to fail tech. But I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, try it.
Tony, I got one for you. Can you explain why at Pocono they use the shifter so much?
Yeah. So you want to keep the car in the maximum power band where you got the most amount of horsepower at all times, and when you slow down, some of these turns, they had to slow down more.
They were getting down about 160.
They were. So you don't want the RPMs to drop too low, where you're just going to stand on the gas and it's not going anywhere. So you're down to whatever. Let's say you're down to 6,500 RPMs in fourth gear. You can knock it down to third gear, get it back up to 8,000 RPMs, and drive it up to 95. You know, to the end of that straightaway. It's about staying in that power band. You want to keep it at maximum power at all times. It's hard to do. You know, you're sliding through the corner. You're downshifting, hoping your brakes are going to be there. They're working hard out there. So
yeah.
But yep, that's your answer. Just keep it in that power band.
Very nice.
Yep.
Sir, you ready for some lucky dogs?
I want to talk about lucky dogs.
Tony, who's your lucky dog of the race?
My lucky dog of the race is the Fox Sport team for allowing the drivers to announce the
Very
race.
Nice.
I thought that was awesome.
Very nice.
What about you?
Tony, hard to shy away from it. Ryan Blaney, not just for getting his first win, but for being able to hold off Kevin Harvick there.
He had a mirror full, too, didn't he?
Yes. Boy, I mean, Harvick was there.
He was there, and he
did not lose his cool anything.
Yep.
And so I think more along the lines, props for, you know, being able to keep your cool and staying focused, knowing it was your first win on the line there.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ryan Blaney obviously was the obvious choice. But
yes.
I thought the Fox Sports guys did
absolutely
really good. Oh, one interesting thing I read about Ryan Blaney, too, is that five out of the six guys that are on his pit crew
yes.
started out in Brad Keselowski truck.
Oh,
you know, and
very
they've,
cool.
They've worked their way up.
Nice.
You know, just like Ryan has. So that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Watching, you know, people, you know, get groomed and moved
yeah.
through the series. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I know. Congratulations to Ryan for sure.
Absolutely. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Kyle Larson's spotter.
Gee, you
yeah.
think?
Yeah.
Hey, good Lord.
Where were you on that one, dipshit?
Yeah, car coming up top.
Ooh, yeah.
The lucky dog.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. You maybe wanted to say something.
Wow.
I have a feeling, honestly, they're under caution.
Yes.
And we've been over this episode. You know, Mike Herman Jr. was on here. And, you know, they got to they got to take a second to themselves. To
sure.
Get, you know, get something to drink, take yes. something or, you know, whatever. And
but I, Larson was really swinging it. Like
he
it was
really, he was really swinging it. But yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yes. Yep. Tony, I'm putting the brakes a lap down.
Yeah.
That was scary and could have been a lot of bad outcomes with that. That was, and we're lucky that there wasn't.
I
so.
Agree. Yeah.
You ready for some listener picks
yes,
there,
I
sir?
I want to hear. Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin Likas. His lucky dog is Kevin Harvick for not blowing his engine after pulling a junior misshift.
You know, what's Kevin? He's a lug nut. I want to say his something. These
I think
lug
you're
nut,
right, yeah.
But I think he put it in second gear, and he realized it real quick and got that clutch in immediately.
Well, I was listening to it on the radio, and he thought he was done. You know, and to be battle back and almost contend for the lead. Yeah.
Should have been. Somehow that one that one held together.
Kevin's lap down is junior for missing a shift and blowing two engines.
Man, you do it once. That's one thing. But now you get it twice, man. You imagine he's got to get in the car this week and be going, holy crap.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to have like a diagram in there, like in crayon, you know, like how to do this.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Stacy initially was going to put the 88 team a lap down, and about 10 seconds later changed it to junior himself after his interview.
Yeah. It was very, you know what, a very honest, very candid.
It was, right?
Like, shifter didn't change. The transmission didn't change. Nothing changed. I screwed up. And not only did I screw up, I did it twice.
Yeah.
He goes, now I got to go in tomorrow and try to explain why that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was. I thought that was very cool of him.
Linda's lucky dog goes to Blaney and the Wood Brothers for Tony. They basically used Morse code the whole race. They did not have the radio communication.
That's old school stuff. That's old school. Yeah. That's how you.
Which even more props for Blaney for being able to handle all that. Right.
Yep. Yeah. He was tapping on the door if the car was the car was tight, and if it was too loose, he was tapping on the roof.
Linda's lap down is also the brakes. Boys at the PETM sent one over. Lucky dog goes to Blaney for having a loose wheel early, coming back to win the race. And their lap down is Hendrick Motorsports.
And I'll tell you what, Hendrick Motorsports is right on the tip of my tongue.
Yep.
I thought they tore up some good race cars.
Yeah.
Almost hurt some good drivers.
Yep.
And that was, I don't know how they missed that bad.
Yeah. Bulldog 4450 lucky dog Harvick after his motor should have blown and coming back to finish second is his lucky dog. Mick's lucky dog is Blaney. His lap down is junior and sent the funniest GIF shifting gear thing. I thought that was hysterical. Hugh's lucky dog is Timothy Peters. Lap down is the Firestone Texas IndyCar tires.
Yeah,
and,
for anybody that watched it, they were having a blistering problem, which is a tire degradation issue. Blisters just like blister on your skin.
Yep.
And then they start popping and sliding and exploding and bad.
Isn't that what happened at the Brickyard a couple years ago?
Yeah, they had a similar issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous one. But, you know, it was a new track. They resurfaced it, read everything, and Firestone missed on that one. So
Mark, lucky dog is Brad Keselowski. Lap down is the 18's interim crew chief for making him a sitting duck out there and not bringing him down.
Man,
the pit
and he's
road.
The one, you know. So initially, like lucky dog, I'm like, man, his interim crew chief, they're killing it today. They're doing great. And then he, right back to the back. He went on almost a lap down. Like, dude, where? What? Huh?
Yep.
You didn't what?
Yep.
You know. So. All right. So
We're coming into
odds.
Just to recap, last week I had Martin Truex as the favorite at plus 450. He came in at 600. Kyle Busch, I put at plus 700. Came in at plus 700. Denny Hamlin plus 900. He came in at plus 14. And Joey Logano, I put at plus 1200. He came at 1200. I was so coming up this week. MIS. I am putting Kyle Larson as the favorite at plus 500, as well as Kevin Harvick. I am putting at plus 500. Kyle Busch, I'm putting at plus 750. Chase Elliott, plus 1,000. And Dale Jr., I'm putting him at plus 3,000-1 for this. Tony, second week in a row, the boys over at PETM nudged us with our picks there, sir. You and Sherwin had the 22. I had the 18 who finished ninth, and Rusty had Brad Keselowski who finished fifth.
I honestly thought Keselowski could have, he had a shot at that.
Yeah.
And he just didn't get a good restart. He just didn't get it going.
Well, and they were fanning out 6-7 wide there. Yeah. I think that didn't help him either there.
He just didn't get it going.
So, Tony, who do you got this week for MIS?
I was going to lay back. I'm not going to lie. I didn't realize I had faded to third place, so no more Mr. Nice Guy. Martin Truex Jr.
78. Nice. I like that. Tony, I put it out there yesterday. For the win, baby.
I knew you were going to go.
For the win.
And truthfully, I've already used him three times. Otherwise, I'd be going for the win.
Well, so this is my second time for using Harvick. And I already tell you, I already know the next three times I'm going to use him.
Phoenix,
Bristol, and Homestead.
Right.
Boom. So I got Kevin Harvick. And the boys over at PETM gave us a couple nice shout-outs last week with them thanking us for hosting and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, they're cool. They're really good. Yeah, so that's a great podcast. If anybody gets a chance to listen to Sherwin.
So they're recording this week from the Atlanta Motor Speedway Media Center live on Thursday. So we'll find out who they're picking for MIS Thursday night.
I'm not going to see that. Shoot.
No. Yes. I'll probably, let's see, Thursday night. Yeah, I probably will have to listen to that Friday morning. So there we are for our picks and odds. Tony, a couple things here as we wrap up. Joe Gibbs Racing will not appeal the 4-race suspension for the 18 car.
Man, I don't get this. I mean, because clearly they intended to rip the quarter panel off the car.
Yeah.
You know, and almost, you know, rip the tire changer's hand off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Completely.
Oh, yeah. Completely they meant to do it. It was... Yeah. Yeah, yes. It was a huge competitive advantage running on three wheels.
Of course.
I mean, you know,
I don't get it.
The tire carrier,
is
he's gone.
Right.
Like, he was just handing him the tire. He didn't do anything wrong.
I don't get it. That's asinine. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's got to change, too. That stuff's got to get fixed next year.
What does it serve, man? I mean, what did you accomplish?
I don't know. Yeah. What did you get? What point did you make by doing that?
Right. Don't do it again. Yeah, dude, I didn't plan on doing it again.
Yeah, right.
I didn't plan on doing it the first time.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep. Let's see. Tony, we got a guest next week that I'm really excited to announce.
Yes, we do.
Next week, NBC commentator Rick Allen joins us as NBC gets ready to start their coverage coming up with the Daytona 4th of July race. So that's very cool, and we're looking forward to having Rick on next week. So that should be a lot of fun. And again, make sure you are following us on Twitter at LapTrafficPC for some tweet up information. If you're going to be at MIS and you want to come and say hi to us, we'd love to meet you and say hi to you guys.
Yeah, we would love to see us. Yeah, keep an eye on Twitter because we're going to be pretty active this weekend. So we'll be out there. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll bring you coverage from all of the excitement in the garage at Michigan International Speedway. And Rick Allen from NBC will be on Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down. See you next week.
See ya.